We're coming to the very last message in a series we've done on the seven churches of Revelation, which is Jesus' words to his church body. Things he wants them to hear, things that are going well, things that not so well. And so we're going to get into that this morning. Now, next week, I'm going to begin a series, and if you want to put this up, Daniel, called The Pieces of Christmas. And yes, I know that is not grammatically correct on any level. But we're going to talk about the fact that often it's this time of year that people fall to pieces, and yet when Jesus came, he came to bring us peace and many kinds of peace. And so we're going to look at that over the next few weeks, and that'll begin next week. But today we're going to come back and finish our brief look at these seven churches. And I want us to do sort of, well, we're going to do one of those little things that often is overlooked, but I think is very, very important. But because what we're going to talk about this morning is going to require us to be thoughtful, I want us to begin with a bit of a brain teaser this morning. Now, some of you are going, it's not 10 o'clock, and I've yet to have my 17th cup of coffee. I'm not going to be good at this. That's okay. You don't have to be. No one's going to know if you got it right, okay? Now, if you happen to know the answer to this before I finish, don't say anything. Don't ruin it. God is watching. This is important. Okay, so here it is. Okay, are you ready? Thinking caps on. Just a little brain stimulation here. You are a bus driver. You drive around town on your bus route. This particular day, you are going from one stop to another. And so you begin from your destination or from your starting point, and you go, get this now, 12 miles south. You stop, pick up 9 passengers. You turn, go 3 miles west. You pick up another 4 passengers. You go 2 miles south again, pick up 8 passengers, and drop off 3. How old's the bus driver? All right, think about it for a moment here. I'm not even going to try to retell you all that. Now, some of us, if you are thinking this through, you're going, okay, well, okay, 12 miles south, and then I pick up 9, and then east a few miles, or west a few miles, and I pick up some more, and then this, and that. Okay, directions, and you're kind of, where does he say anything about the age of a bus driver? Do you remember how it starts? You are a bus driver. How old is the bus driver? You don't have to say it out loud if you don't want to. And some of you would have lied anyway, so we're just not going to go there. And isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that we can be so focused on the details that we often miss the most obvious part of something? We've been going through the details these past few weeks, looking at the seven churches. We've looked at Ephesus. How it had doctrinal purity. Doctrine is important. Hear me now. For those of us who may be thinking that we can be squishy on doctrine, squishy on biblical truth, understand me. Doctrine is important. But they were corrected by Jesus for not having love, for abandoning their first love to him, which then expressed itself to others. So we looked at Ephesus, we looked at Smyrna, this little church that was under great persecution, but the Lord had no negative thing to say to them. We looked at the church in Pergamum, who was very wealthy, doing great things, and yet they had put up with a woman called Jezebel, this person, this individual in the church who had enticed them to false acts and thinking. We looked at Sardis and Philadelphia and Thyatira and Laodicea, and we looked at each of these churches and what the Lord said to each. But did you hear the one thing that he says to each of them? In fact, as we read through it, you'll notice 7 churches, 7 unique contexts, 7 unique things he says, and yet there is one sentence that the Lord says to every church. In fact, this one sentence is repeated exactly to every church. Doesn't matter if you are doctrinally pure, applies to you. Doesn't matter if you're struggling in this area, applies to you. Doesn't matter if you're very weak, very strong, if you're affluent or poor, it applies to you. And I do not want us to finish our time looking at these churches and miss the most important, yet often missed point of Jesus' words. And so let's turn together at one of the seven times Jesus says this phrase in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 7. If you will, it's one verse, but let's stand together. And this morning we will all read it out loud together. These are words in red. These are from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read them from the screen out loud with me? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. These are Jesus' words to you. Let's pray together. Father, give us ears this morning to hear what you say to us. And while we often want to look at what other churches are doing and those people and they, and we use these different words, I pray this morning, none of us would think about other churches, but we would think about ourselves and what the Spirit would have to say to us. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of the Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we got to talk for a minute here because this is one of those passages that we can often read it so quickly and run past it. We miss the beauty, the depth, and the importance of it. In fact, it seems so straightforward, we often miss the point. Now, point number one, Jesus says this seven times. Remember, the number seven is an important number in the book of Revelation. It's the number for completeness, for wholeness. So Jesus writes or speaks to seven churches. Is that all, or are those all the churches in Asia Minor? No, there are plenty others. But he chose seven as representative of the entire church in all places and all times. So the words to those churches apply to us today. Not only that, though, he now says this phrase seven times. Understand, this is the only phrase to the seven churches that is repeated exactly the same, seven times. What do you think that means about the importance of these words from Jesus to us? These are monumentally important. But he says something that I think is very important. He addresses all churches, but he says this to each church at each time. Meaning, while I may want you to listen in on what is going on in Sardis, even though you're in this church, understand, the Spirit is speaking to you today just as he spoke to that church then and there. The words are very important, but also very personal. So we're going to do something today. All right? A lot of times when we talk about things, especially those things that may be uncomfortable, we often want to talk about those people or other people. And so we may have a discussion about people who live a particular way or who do this or don't do that. And we always want to categorize people as they and those. And we often avoid ever saying me. So here we go. First rule this morning. I want us to consider what the Spirit is saying. Well, I'll consider what he says to me. And you consider what he's saying to you, because this is of great importance. Now, it's kind of a neat little passage here in the sense that for preachers, it breaks down into three parts very, very easily. We love that. Okay, point number one. He says this, he who has ears. By the way, show of hands, how many of us in this room have physical ears? Would you raise your hand? If you're not sure, have someone look over in your ear, hopefully not too closely. Awkward. We all have physical ears, but Jesus is not speaking to those with a physical appendage hanging off of each side of their head. Some of us, we have little bitty ears. Other of us, really big ones. They kind of flap in the breeze. He's not talking about those. He is talking about the ability to spiritually hear. This means the words of Jesus will not make sense and really cannot be heard by people who have yet, or who have not yet, rather, come to know him as Savior. Jesus does this amazing thing. He takes dead people, spiritually dead, spiritually blind, spiritually mute, spiritually deaf, and he brings them not back from sickness, but from death itself. He enables us to do that which we cannot do on our own. So the first point is this. If you're not yet a Christian, you may hear these words, but the reality is you will not fully understand the depth of what the Lord may be saying. But you can. You can. One of our best friends in Houston is a lady named Patricia Clark. Lindsay and I knew the Clarks for a number of years. And long before she came to know Christ, she had always been a skeptic and somewhat opposed to the Christian faith. But through the real attractive influence of some Christian friends, she began going to a ladies' Bible study. And she said she would go each week and they would open the text and they would read it. And she'd kind of go, I see the words. I don't see how you're getting what you're getting when you read these verses. Where are you getting this? But she said everything changed the day she became a Christian. When she opened those same passages, she opened them and she said it was like scales coming off. She saw things she had never seen before, because those who have ears, those who can dial into what the Spirit says, are those who have been resurrected from spiritual death. And until that happens, these things will not be able to intuit the truth and the depth and beauty of what our Savior wants to say. So here's the first thing. If you're not yet in Christ, you can come to know Him today. We've got water back here. I checked. We'll baptize you. We will introduce you to Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, for those of us who have been saved, hear me now. Those who have ears, what? Let them hear. Do you notice this? It is a choice to listen.
That's right.
Have any of you ever noticed what a choice it is? I mean, you men, ladies, don't listen for a second here. Men, can we just talk honestly here? Have you noticed that if you are watching a football game and your wife speaks to you, it's amazing how what she says almost sounds like the teacher from Charlie Brown. You know what I'm talking about? And you know she's talking. Ladies, we're sorry, it's just a reality. And so you hear what is being said, but you do not hear what is being said. This is why she'll say, did you hear what I said? You go, uh-huh, what I said. And you go, oh, and you suck air. Because you know you didn't. It is a choice to listen. And the same is true for our relationship with the Lord. Because here's the fact. He can talk until he's blue in the face, but if you choose not to listen, it won't much matter, will it? Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they are the quintessential gentlemen. They will never force you if you refuse to listen. So it's an invitation. He says, those who have ears, let them hear. There's a story about this that I think is just great from years ago when President Roosevelt was in the White House, and he just bemoaned the fact that he had to stand through these long receiving lines over and over again. And the fact was, you'd always exchange pleasantries, but no one would really listen to the pleasantries. And so finally, he kind of got sick and tired of it. And as the story goes, one day he decided to have a little fun. And so as people went by, he decided to greet each person with this little phrase. He'd whisper, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." And the response of the people were, "Marvelous! That's great news! Way to go! We're so proud of you! God bless you!" There's only one person who actually paid attention to what he said. It was the ambassador to Bolivia. He came through the line. He was near the end. And when President Roosevelt whispered, "I murdered my grandmother this morning," the ambassador was not quiet. I mean, he just kind of went, meh. And he leaned over and he said, "Well, I'm sure she had it coming to her." It is a choice to listen. So here's my question. What's the Spirit saying to you? Oh yeah, that's the third part, isn't it? Did you notice who's speaking to you and me? It's not a good friend. It's not an annoying relative. It is not a pestering child. It is not a demanding boss. It is not a political headline. It is the one who crafted the universe. The one who through his power brought the dead body of Jesus out of a tomb. It is the Spirit that animates all things. It is God himself. who's talking to you this morning. He is here in this place. He is speaking not to us in some vague term, but you this morning. He's talking to Tim Partlow this morning. He's speaking to James Conley this morning. He's speaking to Miss Anne. He's speaking to every person in this room who has ears to hear. Are you listening to our God speak today? Because He will speak if we will listen. Now here's the big question. A lot of us run into this. And it's the one that I think I struggle with. Maybe one of the big topics I wrestle with more than about most is how do I know when the Spirit is talking? Because, I mean, come on, can we just talk honestly for a moment here? If you could sit down with the smartest person who ever lived and ask anything, would you take that opportunity? Man, of course you would. You're curious how to work with your finances better. Maybe it's you want to get out of debt, or maybe you're out of debt and you want to do something with it and invest. And so you sit down with the smartest person and you want to ask questions about financing. Or maybe you are a parent and you're just, I mean, your hair's like falling out. You've been up all night for the past year and we know it when we look. I mean, you are that person and you want to sit down with the smartest parent who's ever lived and you get a chance to. Would you do it? Yeah, absolutely. But Scripture makes this profound, it's a promise. That not the smartest person, but God Himself, who not only knows this time in history, but has been through all time in history, is going to speak to us. Man, wouldn't you want to hear what He has to say to you today about that situation you're facing right now? About the question that you don't really know how to address appropriately. About that relationship that, again, you've just come out of the holidays, but you're going right back into it, and it's from fire to fire. And He says, listen, 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 lean in. If you have ears, the Spirit's voice will come through clearly. How do you do this? How do you do this? I love what Robert Hernon describes as the way we hear the Spirit. He says, think of it like tuning a radio. And I wish I had one this morning. I'd show it to you. But just pretend for a moment here that we have this old radio. And by the way, how many of you, I'm not talking digital where you have the presets in your car, but how many of you just remember the joy of trying to find the channel? I mean, it was like a treasure hunt because you finally get it. And then, oh no, you go too far. And so you have to go back, especially in the old cars. My grandma had this, or her grandfather had this old car, I remember, and it had a little tuning dial, and you could never, it's like, you don't have lines small enough to get to the right station. Any of you remember those days? Oh, man. And like, if you got it, you just didn't drive the vehicle, because you knew if you went 10 feet, you'd lose the station, right? But I love what Robert Hearn says. He said, hearing the Spirit is like tuning a radio. To dial in to the Spirit's voice requires patience. Yes. And it requires that you cannot listen to two stations at once. How many of you know the frustration of being in between stations and all you get is static or two voices overlaid? Oh my goodness. Any of you watch all the commercials that are just bombarding us right now during the holidays? You cannot catch a breath, and yet how are we to hear the Spirit of God speak when we never, ever, ever tune out the noise and dial in to the Lord? Sure. And so I want to give you just real quick a couple things that have helped me tune in to what the Spirit is saying. And if you want to jot these down somewhere, I encourage you to do so, because these have just made all the difference in the world. And these are things that godly friends and mentors have shared over the years that I've found to be so helpful. And I just want to pass on what I've received. But here's the first thing, and I don't have them up on the board. You'll need to just kind of listen. Reinforce this morning's teaching and write this down. Here's the first one. One of the things about our Lord is that He often repeats Himself when He wants you to hear something. Have you noticed this? By the way, any parents in the house this morning, anyone in here, you've got kids, and you have to repeat yourself over and over. In fact, finally, what do you do a lot of times? You get down and you grab their face like this, and it's like, and their cheeks, they do this little number right here, and then you say, are you listening? They go, uh-huh. And you then speak to them clearly, but you have to repeat yourself. Our Father does that to us so often. And I found that when the Lord is speaking to me, He often repeats the same message from multiple sources. He will repeat the same message from multiple sources. So there may be a passage of Scripture or a particular topic or a significant issue, and I will hear it in a Bible class one Sunday. I will hear it in a discussion from a godly friend. I will hear it when I open my daily Bible reading. It just so happens that I land on that passage that deals with the same topic. Because our Father is a God who wants us to get the message, and He will often repeat Himself in many different ways if He wants you to hear something. So if you find yourself hearing something multiple times, this is a moment to pause and to reflect and dial in and say, is He trying to cut out the noise so I can hear what He is saying? Here's the second thing that I found to be real helpful in dialing in and tuning into the Spirit. I found that God often surprises me when He wants to talk to me. So often the way it'll work is He will speak something in a place or time that I am not expecting it. Often this happens about 2 o'clock in the morning. Sometime early morning, a name will come to mind. And it's not as though I was talking to this friend earlier in the day or that I was talking to someone else about this friend, but a name or a situation or something will come to mind. And at 2 in the morning, you don't call that person and say, hey, I was thinking about you. At least I don't do that. But I do pray. I say, okay, God, what is going on that you want me to pause in this moment? You woke me up for a reason. What is going on? And here's what I found, that it's like a kid on Christmas morning. Have you ever had your child come jump on your bed Christmas morning saying, it's here, it's Christmas. They're so excited. They get you up out of your sleep. They rouse you. They surprise you. And our God often speaks in moments that you do not expect it. So if you ever find yourself in a moment, a name comes to mind that has no real explanation to it, or a situation, or an issue, then that may be the voice of God speaking to you. And I'll tell you, the best thing to do in that moment is just pray. Pause and pray. There was a situation, it's been about 5 years ago now, had one of those moments, and it doesn't happen all that often, but when it does, I pause and it's about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I just had this burden to pray for a particular friend who lives out of state. And so as I prayed, I couldn't go back to sleep. So by the time I thought it was late enough to call without being too much of a nuisance, I just called and said, hey, just had you on my mind. Is anything going on? He said, yeah, I just found out that I have cancer. He said, I don't know what to do about it. He said, I haven't even told my wife yet. Results came in, and I've just been devastated about it. Stage 4, it's in his lymph nodes, and he says, I don't know what to do. He said, I cannot tell you how much I needed just to hear from a friend. He said, in fact, I couldn't sleep, and so at 3 o'clock this morning, I began to pray, God, will you please let someone call me? Would you give someone the feeling that they need to just get in touch with me? And I said, well, hi. God will often speak to us in surprising moments and ways. So if God repeats Himself, or if God surprises you with something that should not come up and it does, that is often at least a measure for what, or way of knowing if the Spirit is speaking. Here's another one. I found that when it's the Lord putting something on my heart, it is often something that I feel a great burden or weight. Have you ever noticed that with people or things that are very important to you, you just almost feel this gravity around them? This weight. So it's with a new relationship, and I know for in high school and stuff, you had that new relationship, and all you can think about is that person. And when you think about them, you get that sort of ooey gooey queasy feeling inside. And some of you are going, I have no idea what you're talking about. Trust me, it's coming. Just don't write a, you know, you just don't tell the significant other, you make me sick inside. That's not a good one. But there's a gravity, there's a weight, there's a sense of something to it. Or when there's an issue that you are passionate about, you feel this weight, this gravity, this burden for that thing. And some of you, over the past few weeks and months, as we've talked about various issues in your life, it just weighs on you. Here's what I found. When there is a burden for something, a person, issue, or thing, often that is a sign that the Lord is speaking, because He will lay His hand heavy on us so as to cause us to pause and say, what is going on? I need to tune in. And here's the fourth and final thing I would suggest. That if you begin to feel any of these things, if you sense the Lord speaking, test what you're feeling against what He's already said. See, here's one thing that I find very confusing and very frustrating. The Lord does not contradict His nature. And yet often I will hear people speak about making life-altering decisions because they feel God wants them to blank. And for me, it's a pretty simple thing to say, that's not the Lord. It may be indigestion, but it's not Him, because He's already spoken on this issue. So whenever you begin to have a sense of God speaking, recognize He will not occupy two opposite channels on the radio. He will be right on one. And when you feel something, you compare it against what He said in Scripture. And if it lines up, you begin to say, I think I have just tuned into what He is saying to me. And it's so important that we hear. There's a story a number of years ago. There was a fire. It was a tenement complex. It was very old. And there was a person in this building who had fallen asleep with a lit cigarette. It lit the mattress. The place went up like kindling. Fire department got there as quickly as they could. They got out as many people. One lady who had been down in the basement doing laundry had gotten out, but her 3-year-old daughter was still upstairs on the 4th floor. And so she sent firemen in. She said, my kid's in there. Please get her. They said, what is your daughter's name? And she said, her name is Chloe. And so the firemen went in, up through the window, because that was the only way they could get into this particular apartment at this point. The fire was too great, too hot in all the other areas. They go inside, and the firemen, as loudly as they could, called out, Chloe! Chloe! And this little girl who had been hiding in the closet, when she heard her name, creaked the door open. And one fireman said, I saw this little socked foot under the smoke, and it came running to me, because she heard her name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. May we who have ears hear what God is saying to us. And when we hear the words to these churches, is He saying something to Josh that Josh needs to hear? Maybe I am that church that has become cold or lukewarm. And He's saying, oh dear child, hear my voice. Come from that way to life. Maybe you're in a place where you've got doctrine right, but you don't love people very well. And the Spirit would say to you, it's good to know the Bible, but remember the one about whom Scripture speaks. For some of you, you are discouraged and you are in a tough place, and you need to hear the words of the Savior to not the church in Smyrna, but to you. Don't give up. Don't quit. I am with you, He says. What is the Spirit saying to you today? And maybe what he's saying at this moment is to come to me, child. Leave the burning around you. Just follow my voice, and I will give you life.